Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Nick.
Yeah, listeners may be familiar with Nick as the voice of the Dominate for Two intro and outro, but this is the first time we've got him behind the mics to talk about a topic with us.
Yes, my career as a voice actor has now ended, and now I'm a participant in the sport.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your history with War Machine and what you're up to now?
So I have a pretty long history with War Machine. I'm still a very big enthusiast and fanatic about the game. I started out when the game first came out and was in stores. Took a little bit of a break due to me not being a teenager anymore and trying to establish myself as an adult. And I came back to it in my adult life around when I was 22, and only recently, about 2 years ago, put down my faction and sold my models to move on to other pursuits.
Mm-hmm. And what are you up to now?
I'm focusing a lot more on my own career, as well as doing the Armored Combat League, as well as the historical medieval battles. Both of them are steel fighting, MMA style combat sports fought at an international level. So it's eaten up a lot of my time.
So basically, you've transitioned to a competitive athletic game then?
Yeah, I went from moving around exemplar units to being one.
That's a good way to put it. So the topic we're talking about today is something I have almost never heard discussed in the War Machine community, which is leaving the game, leaving a faction, and exit strategy in general. So there's a book that I recommend to absolutely everyone called What I Learned Losing $1 Million. And it's the story of a commodities trader who goes up, from up a substantial amount, to down something like $900,000 over 3 months. And, the sort of story he learned of like what led up to that disaster and what to take away from it in terms of preventing that kind of catastrophic loss. The big lesson of the book is whenever you plan on entering a market or entering a pursuit, having an exit point in mind before you start as a stop loss. So like, you know, regardless of whatever else happens, if my position degrades to such and such a value, I will get out. To prevent you from like sliding backwards by like holding on to a position that's constantly losing for psychological reasons. This is something like that's really resonated with me in my own War Machine career, transitioning between factions. And then Nick, I'm sure, has showed up for you in choosing to leave the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot about, too, when I was playing pretty actively about changing factions, and I did change my faction when the game first started. I went from Signar to Menoth, and, you know, I always kept it in the back of my mind because you lose to Legion every game. It kind of makes you question if you're on the right path. But it's a very good question, especially for coming to terms with what your priorities are and what you're playing the game for. So it's a question that's not asked that often, but should definitely be discussed because it's in all of our heads.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if what you're coming to the game for is like casual fun, like once a week, get together with some people, play some games that give you some intellectual stimulation, like your possible realms for losing and your exit, like psychological losses may be pretty low and an exit strategy may not be very important to you. Versus like for me and at one point you, our level of interest was competitive success, like really exploring the limits of the game, developing our skill to such and such a point, and the sort of psychological returns from that. And like where your low may be is descending into, say, constant frustration, like putting a lot of money into going to conventions, not really growing, and really resenting the experience if, you know, you're like the experience you're looking for is not delivered on. I know for me, that was, I've definitely had moments where like I was top eighting, particularly in 2015 going into 2016, top eighting at a lot of events and really just getting blown up in the first round of Masters over and over again and feeling really frustrated. And I definitely, like, over the years have had a lot of conversations with myself about, like, do I want to walk away from the game? Am I still, like, getting, you know, fulfilled on what I want out of it? But it came to me in these conversations that I didn't actually have an exit point and that, like, it is possible for me to just, like, continue being frustrated and suffering with it.
I didn't exit for any reason of frustration or anything. It's, I had a shift in priorities while I was, you know, going to conventions and trying to get better at the game, reading up on everything and understanding what was happening at a competitive level, especially when it came to things like a meta and other things like that. It was more of a balance of priorities. Did I want to keep spending my time on this competitive game that I do like and I had friends that played, or did I have other bigger pursuits? So I guess one thing to definitely come to terms with your exit strategy is this fulfilling your desires? Is this game is meant to put a place inside your life where you're doing something challenging with people you enjoy and hopefully traveling to do it as well, to see new places. I didn't really have much of the same experiences that I know that you had when it came to the travel of the game. I kept going back to places I had already been. You got your international gaming experience going on, and I had a shift of priorities. Suddenly there was something I wanted to do a lot more than the time commitment that came out of being a competitive player in the game.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because like your new, you know, your new gaming, as it were, career as an athlete in the Armored Combat League and historical medieval battles is actually like really akin to the trajectory of a competitive player in War Machine and you know what you're getting out of it.
I take a lot of those same elements with me into the competitive athlete game. There's a lot of similarities between the two, especially when it comes to the mental fatigue. Whereas in War Machine, you lose round one in Masters 2 years in a row, and it sucks. You go away feeling like, what the hell did I just read all those cards for, all those hours, all that planning? And in the Armored Combat scenario, you go to a tournament, and somebody bashes your head in with a giant axe, and then you don't really have time to think about it because you're concussed. But you know, it's being able to take that frustration of losing something that you would have thought you won and keep rolling with it. If a game doesn't really give you that out and you can't get over that loss, that either fuels you or that's a sign for an exit strategy. So really it's about what you're willing to commit after taking a blow. And really the whole game and your exit strategy should be about commitment. Is this something that you're willing to continue to pursue despite losing, despite the physical and mental fatigue? Is it something that is worth those things? And if you haven't ever experienced those things, then you're not really going to know until you try, whether it's fighting somebody with an axe or playing War Machine. You're not going to know until you get to that point, though identifying that point is really important.
Yeah, and that actually like really resonates with me in terms of a specific episode. So like 2016, gearing up for the competitive season, I go to LVO and I don't think I qualify for the Masters. Like, I don't have the best performance ever. You know, I'm playing Scorn at the time. Lose to, I think it's Tom Guan, but very, very strong competitive player. Go to the next event after that. I go to Kingdom Con, lose to Brian Marino in the qualifying Masters, still make to the cut to Masters. Round one of Masters, play Brian Marino. We're both running the exact same lists, and I lose to him in the exact same manner on the exact same like attack. Like, Abdomus Marketh is the barest fraction of an inch outside of landing a stranglehold that just toilet bowls the game. So like lost twice like that. And I was getting really frustrated with Scorn. Like, I kept hitting the same barriers over and over again. And, like, I recognized that there was growth for me to do, but I wasn't, like, I really didn't have access to it. And I was getting, like, sick and tired of the frustration. And I was starting to get, like, really mentally tunnel visioned on, like, forcing this to work. And at the same time, I was frustrated looking at going to Adepticon and, like, oh, you know, I really want to just switch to Kador. This Scorn thing just is not working, and I'm ready to pull the trigger and leave. And I have some discussions with people, and, you know, the advice I got is, like, well, if you're going to go to win, play what you're most practiced with. So I go to Adepticon, and then right on the back of that, Ben and I are traveling to Ireland for Irish Masters. So I bring my Scorn to Adepticon, lose in the Iron Gauntlet qualifier to Divide and Conquer, lose in the Masters qualifier to Divide and Conquer, get really frustrated, get on a plane to Ireland, go and play like a bunch of garbage, and then come back home. And I am just on the plane. I am so sick and tired and frustrated with what's going on. Like where I was with Scorn, like, I am just banging my head into a wall over and over and over again. And part of the realization is that at the time, Scorn was, like, it was a very powerful faction, but the level of, like, mental processing and, like, your level of thinking about what you're doing had to be ratcheted up so high to achieve success. Versus your opponents were, like, you know, they could often do whatever. They had much lower margins for error. And didn't have to, you know, playing wasn't as exhausting.
Was this during Mark 2 or Mark 3?
This was Mark 2.
Okay.
And I remember the very first, like, I'm sitting there frustrated, like, what do I do about Scorn? What do I do about Scorn? Do I still want to be in the game? Because I'm really not achieving the results that I had, you know, that I was hoping for this year. And I remember literally the first thing that happened when the plane's wheels hit the ground, I turned on my phone. And then I saw the announcement that Mark 3 was coming, and it was coming in, like, 3 months. And, you know, like, all this stuff about how all the game is changing and all that. And that's literally, like, I'm listening to this as the plane is taxiing, and I just say, fuck it. All this, like, stress and, like, driving myself crazy with, like, I really want to maximize my odds of winning isn't paying off. And it's, you know, everything that I'm pouring brain sweat into for the next couple of months isn't going to matter. So you know what? I'll just do what I wanted to do before Adepticon and Irish Masters and just switch to Kador and just play what I want to play and have fun. And I actually dropped, like, this tunnel visioned obsession that was coming out of, you know, the frustrations I was having in my career. And I went to Seattle Open and MuzonCon. And just, like, screw it, I'm going to play what I want to play. And performed really well, like, better than I ever had before. You know, and I think part of it was getting myself unstuck. But I think part of it was also, like, I did not have a stop-loss strategy. I didn't have an exit point, like, post-Las Vegas Open and post-Kingdom Con. And I just continued to suffer with, like, this is not obtaining results. I know what the problem is. I'm not obtaining results. And I didn't pull the trigger and make the change that would make a difference. Like, you know, I had two more tournaments. It was like, you know, a $2,000 investment that just didn't pan out. And I knew it wasn't going to work.
Well, that's definitely one thing I think that comes to the exit strategy that you have to look out for is you're going to want to not, if you're not having fun with it, like, what's the point of doing it at all? And then on top of that, if you're coming up to something like a major tournament, one thing that, at least for steel fighting, is that, like, you don't change out any major piece of equipment like your helmet or armor such as that. But if something just does not work, it is better to go with something new than to go with what you know won't work for you. Mm-hmm. So in the back of your mind, if you're getting frustrated, you're sick of your faction, you keep running into the same roadblocks over and over again, you should probably come up with an exit strategy. That is your time to have that exit strategy to say, okay, it's not working for me. I need to get around this roadblock. If I can't do it, I need to get out. So, like, what I would have done in your situation, had I had this thought and come up with an exit strategy, would have been, I would have faced against that worst case scenario. And so I'm not exactly sure. You said it was there was a particular scenario that you were having difficulty with your army.
Oh, it was losing in the exact same situation twice in a row against Brian Marino.
So, I mean, it could just be that the player is that good, but it doesn't seem like that. To make the same mistake over or twice over does sound like tunnel vision, does sound like you limiting factors for how you like to play the game and the limiting factors of what your models are actually capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, maybe playing that scenario over again, seeing how you could have actually worked it out, could have kept you in the faction. But if you couldn't have found it and you just hit the same roadblock again, that would have been a signal fire for me to bounce out of the faction into something new, even if it's playing it for the first time at a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than playing something that you know you won't enjoy.
Yeah. Well, and that's like returning to what I learned losing $1 million. Like, one of the biggest things that the authors go into is the profit motive versus the profit motive, like P-R-O-H-E-T versus P-R-O-F-I-T. Like, in this case, the profit motive with an F is actually achieving competitive success, getting the wins, winning conventions, qualifying for circuits. Like, it's a very binary kind of thing. Like, am I winning? Yes, no. Are my behaviors consistent with achieving that level of success? Yes, no. Very straightforward. Versus the other profit motive, which is about getting proved right. And for me, that was something that kept me in Scorn for a really long time. Like, I was playing very novel lists. I had very different ideas about the game. I had pioneered, like, a really new, innovative list strategy, doing the Xerxes 2 with a ton of Drakes and all that.
That was cool.
And for a long time, I was really, really focused on being proven right versus asking the question, is this working or not? And that kept me like locked into my strategy way longer than I should have been, and seeing the signs that it was time for an exit. So, like, you know, the advice they give, like, you know, because this is a psychological thing that everyone's prone to. And the advice they give, and what I learned losing $1 million, is to set up your exit point in advance and just stick to it religiously, so that no matter, like, so that your psychological, like, rabbit holing can happen. You see the point and you pull the, you know, you pull the switch, like, whatever's going through your head. You know, it's a stop loss. It's to prevent you from losing much, much more.
Yeah, I could definitely understand that. And I mean, there's probably a lot of factors that go into it, such as, like, financial burden, whether or not you're actually having fun, what if your lists drive you to insanity and cause you to go drinking out late at night, then it's probably time for that exit strategy. I mean, I didn't really have an exit strategy when I left the game. It was just a combination of things that really made sense, being that I had a new thing that I was getting into. The time commitment for that was eating up my time that I would have had on War Machine. The financial burden of having to buy a bunch of armor meant that part of me to do that was selling my models, because I wasn't really playing the game anymore. And there are still times where I wish I was a casual player, where I could walk up with my army and get in a game or two. But all of this started happening right on the cusp of Mark III coming out. So with the big game changes, with my own life changes, and my attitude towards the game, which was that I liked it a lot, but suddenly competitions weren't necessarily that important to me. I didn't want to go out and, you know, win a Masters in War Machine nearly as much as I did in the years prior. So I figured that was as best a time as any to jump ship, and not just leaving my faction, but leaving the game entirely. And actually, when I was playing Signar, I had a very similar experience to you with leaving a faction, was that none of the strategies were working out for me. It wasn't working for my playstyle. I just kept on getting frustrated and bogged down. So changing up my faction, actually, I played against about everybody, found the faction that I thought looked like the most fun to play, and went with that one. And it turns out I was right. I absolutely love playing Menoth. And while other factions did interest me, and I will admit that I've definitely had thought about going back to Signar more than a couple times, my playstyle really excelled inside of Menoth, and I really found that all the options for that faction, the different playstyles you could play with them, were really great.
Well, that's really cool that transition worked out for you, and I've actually had a similar experience retransitioning back to Scorn. Oh my sweet Jesus God, Kador is not working. Like, I had a really rough time at the WTC and at Lock and Load this last year. Honestly, after Lock and Load, I probably should have pulled the trigger and just re-geared into Signar for the run-up to the WTC, but I didn't do it. And I stuck with a really losing position. Like, and our team had 3 Kador players. It was not the best move.
Yeah, you should have changed it up.
Yeah. But going back to Scorn, like, I continued sticking with Kador, and I just kept getting more and more frustrated, especially confronting the reality that Kador themes blow. They're so bad. And going to Scorn, like, you know, the weird thing that's been showing up for me is, oh my god, I don't have, like, loosey-goosey shooting elements that can be wherever. Like, I'm actually just forced to play properly. Like, really, really carefully microing my position and, like, learning to do it quickly. Like, it's actually a really enjoyable experience, and I feel myself growing again, having made the change.
Nice. What do you think might cause you to leave the game at this point? Because, I mean, you're already pretty heavily invested inside of War Machine. Whereas I only had one faction, you have 4?
Probably more than that.
Yeah. So for somebody in your position, what is your exit strategy?
Do you know, I actually realized when I was sending you that outline that I didn't have one. And it's something I've grappled with, like, at my low with Scorn in Mark 2 and at my low with Kador in Mark 3. Like, you know, yeah, I've thought about, like, do I want to keep doing this? Is this really, like, fulfilling? And I hadn't thought about that. I think for me, like, my stop loss would probably be, is there still a competitive field in the game? Like, is this still a game that supports emergent behavior and innovations in play and really rewards, like, particular excellencies in self-development? There have been periods of, and what it looks like where the game is not doing that. Like, there was a period in Mark 2 when Bradagus was released and the Shifting Stones had not been toned down.
Yeah.
Where the game was rapidly moving toward, if you want to play competitively, you play Bradagus or insanely strong counters to Bradagus because he just obsolesces most of the field. There is no point in playing anything else. And there's no point in not doing this optimal strategy. And even the guys who are geared to defend against it still have a 70% loss rate.
Well, I mean, there's always been power casters throughout the history of War Machine. Isn't right now, you would say, Nemo 3 one of those power casters?
I don't think Nemo's is as egregious as Bradagus.
Well, I mean, Bradagus may have been the worst example other than, not Terminus, but the...
Oh, Asphyxius too?
Yeah, Asphyxius. I remember back in early, it was either late Mark 1 or early Mark 2 that he was ungodly, and one of your lists better well take care of him, otherwise you were guaranteed to lose mm-hmm. any competitive matchup you went into. And then again, you see a lot of players, at least when I was playing in Mark 2, with Legion at the top tables, it would be like 2 out of the 3 have Legion. And everybody's rocking Legion in the competitive play, which is fine. I understand that Legion is a really good faction, but if your aim is to leave the game because of some type of imbalance or like a faction just can't keep up, it seems like that has been around for a long time. And it's obviously incentivized by the creators of War Machine at Privateer Press to get rid of those, but they keep coming up.
Yeah, well, and I think there's something in there that ties into profit motive versus profit motive, like being wedded to a specific faction and like, I need to play the game my way. Like, that's something you can decide you want to get out of it, but that's also being wedded to a specific position and not the binary question of like, am I winning? Yes, no. Am I achieving the results I want to achieve? Yes, no. And like, if you get stuck in that, then like, yeah, you probably, I mean... competitive ambition doesn't really mix with that, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe that's a good good point to look at is that if your ambition and your whole reason for playing the game is competitiveness, and you're just not finding, you're either not finding that competitiveness or you just can't handle it, that might be a good exit strategy. If you see the competitive play die down, perhaps it's your time to exit. But not being married to a certain list is very much the same way. We just had wrestling practice today, where you find that the best wrestlers don't get committed to the throw they're in, that they'll go for it, and as soon as it doesn't work, they'll change it up. And the best grapplers you'll find don't ever get married to an idea or a move. They stay loose and fluid and are able to adapt and change depending on what the situation presents to them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's like, for me getting locked into factions, I would, in the points where I was doing that, yeah, I didn't have that fluidity, and I wasn't asking myself the question, am I like committed to competition? But to answer your question, like, what would be the point triggering me exiting the game? Like, and I think if you are a serious competitive player, you will switch up to do what works most effectively or what you believe will work most effectively. Like, you should always be pursuing that. What would cause me to leave is when the game becomes broken. Like, when there is something that is put into the game that is so unbelievably powerful that it removes all other options. Just do this, or things that are strong counters to this. Nothing else is viable. And there's really no room for development. It's just repeat this perfect strategy over and over again.
So are you saying one-dimensional or less dimensional?
I think specifically one-dimensional when it comes down to the all-powerful godly mono build.
But if it was a coin flip, you'd still be in.
Maybe not. I don't know. For me, I think it comes down to like what role does skill and strategic thinking play into the game? Versus just execution, like just executing a perfect strat, like executing the unstoppable strategy. If it's just execution, I want nothing to do with it. If there's still like strategic thinking, yeah, sure. I could see myself like, even if the field gets really small, as long as the games are really interesting inside of that and still really support like expression and development, then I'd be in. And I mean, a lot of people argue that Mark II was like, quote, solved at the end. I think it had just evolved into a really mature metagame. Like, people had realized the types of things that were most effective, and there was still discovery going on, but it wasn't turbulent chaos. It was really like coming down to, you know, developing your play with a set roster of pieces. Like, it was almost chess-like, you know, without the same level of provable solvability. So that was really interesting. And the field toward the end of Mark II had actually narrowed a lot. It had converged on maybe 20, 30 casters, but the game was really rewarding to play. Mark III's much more diverse and has constant like change. And that's fun. But, you know, yeah, I could see it shrinking down a lot. Just the question is when, you know, is it broken?
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily broken, but because of the big change, whereas I felt like I had a really in-depth knowledge of Mark II, and it did feel chess-like when I was playing it. That's part of why I really enjoyed it. It was a open field chess game, no board. Mm-hmm. Well, except there is a board. and then all these changes happened, and suddenly the financial investment I made into units and into lists, and that thought process all went out the window. So I suddenly was looking at the lists, and if I wanted to have something competitive, I would have to spend more money on the game to buy models I didn't have that weren't good in Mark II that suddenly now are in Mark III, as well as taking every warjack you possibly can, because now all of them get a free focus for no reason. It was just incentive for me to leave the game. I would have there for me, there was too much change to what I was established in as a competitive gamer for me to continue with the game.
Basically, it wasn't worth the cost of continuing on.
Yeah, the financial and the time obligation would have been too much for me to really keep going. Well, it wouldn't have been too much. I probably could have made the commitment to do it. But the thing is I realized I didn't want to. And as soon as I realized that, that's where I knew my exit point was. I had other pursuits. I wasn't really that involved with the game because of these changes. It just distanced me from it. So I took the exit out didn't really look back. Well, no, that's not true. I look back all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes your life situation does change, and all the time people leave the game for changing life things. Like, you get into a different game, like Magic the Gathering or some other minis game, or it's no longer scratching the itch, or you just bought a house and you had your first kid. Like, yeah, that changes things, and definitely...
That might not be a good excuse.
can revise your
The kid's not going to know shit for years.
All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good coverage of the topic. Did you have anything else you wanted to add or anything you want to leave the audience with?
Understand what your pursuits are. If your goals are casual, keep it casual. And if you are playing competitive, spend your money, do your research, spend your money intelligently, because as it turns out, you may not be completely happy with what you've got and you may want to change it up. Leaving yourself financial options gives you a lot of room when it comes to a competitive play, because it allows you to pretty much change anything you need to.
Right.
The time investment, the thinking and all that is worth it if you think it's worth it. But mostly watch your money.
Yeah. Yeah. Knowing what you want. And there's something that it's, I think, tacitly in there on the financial concern. Like, the implication is, you know, be very careful with what you're purchasing. If your ambition is competition and get the things that support, you know, what winning is, but be prepared to change. And unsaid in that is, because if you are playing competitively, you will at some point have to.
Yes.
Like, because you're just answering the binary yes, no, am I winning, is this achieving results?
Yes.
And you just have to go where the answer to that is yes.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for Two. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforto.podcast@gmail.com.